Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, as always, Tim Taylor.
You got it, dude.
Yeah, I got it, dude. You know who else has it? The Bruins and the Celtics.
Yeah.
They got it, dude.
A lot of TD Garden employees, we'll call them, got it right now.
Dude. Feeling pretty good right about now or what?
I feel awesome. I feel it's the best day in a while.
The best day of your life.
It's the best day ever. It's the best day of 24.
It's fun right now, man.
It's very fun right now. I think we should start in Montreal. Start on the ice and then start in Montreal. Or not in Montreal, but with the Montreal game that you were at a couple nights ago.
I mean, I said to somebody tonight, this episode's coming out a little bit late because we decided to record it a little bit later after a few things happened.
Oh, it's a recap game, baby. The recap recording. We haven't caught you post game. I mean, we've only done it a couple times this season. I feel like.
So we decided to hold off until after the Winnipeg game. But
and
I
then
said
also
to someone,
the Celtics ran a little late too in Dallas this evening.
That too. I said to someone tonight, I was like, there's only one team that I would want to beat, you know, score 9 goals on more than Montreal, and that's Toronto. So, you know, it's really a win-win.
Yeah.
To be able to do that against Montreal, even though they're terrible, their goaltending is so bad.
I don't care.
It's still 9 goals, you know, like that's no joke.
No.
That was a fun one. Shout out to Danton Heinen for getting his first career hat trick.
At the age of what? He's up there, right?
Nah, he's probably mid-20s is my guess, right? Like,
really? He just looks old to me.
I mean, he's been around a bit, but...
He's 28.
All right, so he's getting there. Good for him, though. I mean,
it's awesome.
It was a good one, too. It wasn't, you know, they weren't all junk goals or anything. Like, they were actually good goals, so... that was a fun game. I mean, anytime you put up 9 goals on anyone, that's going to be fun. But
is that good?
Well, for a minute there, I thought we were going to have to win the game 10-9.
I told you that. I texted you that in the middle of it, and I said the only way we're going to win is I said 10-7.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank goodness. You know, recently back Linus is. I mean, he turned it around by the end of the game a bit. I don't know.
He didn't look ready, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm curious if he's going to go next game.
Yeah, I mean, who do we have next game? Carolina. That's a tough game too, but I think he'll go. I mean, if he played this game and he's feeling all right, he's going to go. They got to give him a shot. They got to get him back into game shape and all that too. So, you know, none of these games coming up are easy. So, he's going to have to
And my argument isn't to give him an easier opponent. I think that's stupid. This, you know, we're again playing with house money a bit here. We're way ahead. We're way more ahead than we thought we'd be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, throw him into the fire and see if he can swim. It's just like we threw him into Montreal and maybe that's the softy that you give him.
Yeah.
And swimming was difficult.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, obviously Swayman's playing outstanding. He's going to the All-Star game. That's pretty sick. But like, overall, this Bruins team is beating good teams. Like, Winnipeg is no joke. Colorado is no joke. They look good. You know, it's really, really tough as fans this year to be like, they're not real. But so far, they look real. You know, like, we keep saying this. We keep going back and forth and being like,
getting better.
We don't know what to expect. But, like, we keep waiting for this bad stretch to come up or something, and it hasn't really happened. I mean, we had one.
Yeah, you better have some wood around.
We had one. Well, yeah, but we had one rough spot this year where we were a little concerned. But you know, we just won two huge games against Colorado and Winnipeg. With, you know, thankfully the Montreal game, we got a lot of guys back, but we won that Colorado game with a bunch of guys still injured. I mean, this team, the depth seems to be working. But I just question how they will look in the playoffs as far as that goes. Like, there are players that are contributing right now that are, I guess I'll call it streaky, you know, like Jake DeBrusk is on fire right now. but yeah. he could go away in 5 games, you know? Like, I hope that doesn't yeah. happen, but it's just, it is possible. When he's hot, he's hot.
Yeah. Last episode, we were talking about Jake, you know, maybe not showing up this year. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I like that quick turnaround. I'll take spurts of him if that's what all we get this year. And, you know, let the hot hand stay hot is what I say. But
yeah.
I don't know. We found goal scoring a bit outside of who we've said is the only people scoring goals, I feel like, since we complained about it last week. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from this week. Another one being getting more than 2 goals in a victory tonight against the Winnipeg Jets,
yeah.
who have not let up more than 2 goals in a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's a big win. That's a team that is no joke. They got 30. I think that their record was like 30 wins. You know,
they're third in the league.
Yeah. 30, 11, and 4 right now. Like, that's a great record.
With the team.
The team and the game that I'm looking forward to that I'm a little bit concerned about is the Vancouver game that's coming up here because, you know, they are a great team. They're right behind us. We keep bouncing back and forth with them for first in the league, which I don't care about. But they look real and they look scary, and that's a team that, you know, that game's going to be really telling to see how they show up for it. You know,
Vancouver's a team, and I've watched a good amount of Vancouver this year. They're a team that's like, they'll get outshot by like 30 to 19 and like win the game by numerous goals.
Yeah.
Like, they're efficient. Like, the shots they take go in. Like, they got to have the best shot percentage in the league. I really think they probably do.
Yeah.
I haven't looked. And if not, they're guaranteed top three. I bet money on that. Like, it's just, they're very, very talented and they're pretty young.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's like that's a scary team for the foreseeable future, and especially obviously this season.
I'm not getting ahead of myself here. I'm just saying to you, how fun would a rematch of a finals
so
be?
Fun. I'll take it anytime over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily want it this year.
Bruins and Canucks, you know, in the finals. Woo.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. Yeah. I mean, Vancouver coming back alive, shedding light on how awful their fans are. It's fun. It's very fun.
I got a surprise for you, actually.
What's up?
So we have the return of the Badger today.
No way.
And I feel like, you know, we're talking about,
he just moved to Florida for the winter and forgot about us or something.
We're talking about the Montreal game, and I can only imagine that he has some comments about it. So I feel like before we get too far away from it, we should,
oh, let's go. Yeah,
we should give it a listen. Let's see what he's got this week.
All right, boys, Badger here checking in. Now, I think I may have caught the flu, and I've got a tremendous immune system, so I didn't get a flu shot this year. So I'm battling to make this call right now. But I couldn't let this week go by without paying my respects to the living legend, Bill Belichick.
Yes, sir.
And I know it wasn't pretty at the end there, but he was a big part of the best 20 years in all of sports. And going forward, I don't hate the choice of Gerard Mayo as the new coach, but I think they could have done their due diligence, to at least interview a guy like Vrabel, Harbaugh, or someone like a Mike McDaniel, who's a young offensive guy. I mean, we've had enough of the defensive-first mentality at the helm. And, you know, if they're hiring him because they wrote it into his contract a year or two ago, I just think that's doing a disservice to this organization. But we'll see how it goes. I'm going to give him a fair shake. Now, under the B's and C's, I'll tell you this right now. It's a good thing I didn't get my call in last week because I am fed up with the Bruins in overtime. I know you touched on it last week, but it's remarkable that they're the best team in the league according to the standings, and somehow they have the worst OT goal differential in the NHL. You know, they had me staying up all hours of the freaking night just to watch them get their teeth kicked in during overtime. And you know, if they didn't win that game against the Blues, then beat the bag out of the Habs the other night to put a smile back on my face, I'd have a lot more to say about my concerns with this team moving forward. And speaking of that Habs game, I didn't love them bringing Ullmark back for that game. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we even saw the backup Boosie while Ullmark was out. And then he comes back and gives up 4 goals. And they weren't meaningless goals. They were in the first and second period. Yeah. I think if we're seriously considering moving on from one of these goalies at the trade deadline or end of the year, it would have been smart to at least give, you know, the backup in waiting a look to see what we had there. And now I have a problem with both of you saying last week that the Celtics look like a different team this year and have a better chance to win a championship.
I knew this was
coming. I know
it
was a back-to-back, but they were so bad against the Bucks that TNT cut away from the C's for the Mavericks game at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Then they go out and they lose a close one to the Nuggets, who are a legit team, but they aren't what they were last year. And I don't care if they beat the Rockets by 30 or destroy San Antonio. That's not who's stopping you from winning a championship. It's the two teams you just lost to, all right? And I've said it before, I love Porzingis, but where is he tonight? Sitting on the freaking bench again. He's not built for a grind, and that's exactly what the NBA playoffs
He's
are.
He's heated.
Now, if he doesn't miss a game in the playoffs, I'm happy to have you tell me you told me so, but I just don't see it happening. All right, boys, I'll talk to you soon.
God, I love the return of the Badger.
And once again, so much to unpack, I'll probably miss stuff. Wow, yeah, good to have him back. Shout out to my fellow flu brethren. I don't know what the hell has been keeping me down for 2 weeks, but I feel you, brother. I guess we'll try to start in order there. The goalie thing's a good point, or not a good point, but it leads me to bring a question to you, which is that a tip of the cap that they're probably not moving away from one of them at the deadline? I think so. I mean, you're not going to, are we really going to trade one of these guys and have had no ice time for a goalie coming in?
So I'm going to be 100% honest with you that I had a bad thought this morning. And I don't know where it really came from, and it kind of came out of nowhere, but this is my thought process here. I think that there is a real world possibility. This is going to be crazy, but there's a real world possibility where the Bruins do trade Omark at the deadline. And I know that he has a no movement clause or whatever it is, but it's probably like, you know, there's certain teams that he has to give a list that he would be able to be traded to, whatever. I think that there is a real possibility that if that happened and they moved on from him, that Swayman walks at the end of the year for nothing, because he's not going to take that lightly. He's not going to be happy about that. And I don't know that he's the type of guy that's like, you know, the team over my best friend type of thing. They're so close that if they trade him at the deadline, I don't know what happens. And there is a real world possibility where if that does happen, that we have no goaltender next year. So we either have a rookie goalie in Bussy, and then you have to go out and get a veteran backup or whatever you got to do. But I don't know, man. I think that there is. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying if they were to trade him, I feel like there is a real possibility that Swayman doesn't take it. Not personally. And he's on a 1 year deal. So you never know. Like, it's a bad thing to think about, but for it's, some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I just got to think it's crazy. Like,
I hope
for that to happen. Jeremy Swayman would have to not understand that, like, this is a business, and wouldn't have to understand that, like,
well, not to mention they're choosing not, you.
Exactly. We'd have to understand that, like, this is so that he gets paid what they think he's deserved, which may at that point be more than he thinks he's deserved or whatever. Man, that would be really crazy. That is a dark thought. I don't really want to dissect that because that's not a world I care to even pretend to live in.
All right.
But sure, I'll give you credit and say that is a real world. I can see us doing that at the deadline.
Just after his comments about the arbitration thing, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Not that I think he should say whatever he wants to say, whatever he feels he needs to say, and that's fine. But there's definitely something there that is bothering him, or that did bother him in the offseason. So yeah. It's like if they decide to trade Omark, and I just don't know. We don't have to get that far into it. It's just that was what I was thinking about this morning. I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I don't know. To me, it feels like it's a real world possibility.
Amen. We're masochists, you know. That's true. That's a pretty unique form of being one, but great, good on you for staying true. Good Lord. Yeah.
Let's go back to Badger's comments.
Not the answer. Excuse me. Not the answer I thought was coming there. No. Yeah, okay. I guess that checks that box for my first question. I'd be curious to hear some of his concerns, but he didn't go into them since the streak. So I guess that kind of... I'm good. Excuse me. I'm good on his coughing. No, I'm not good on coughing, I guess. On his hockey points there. Let's get into basketball a little bit.
He really laid into the Celtics there a little bit, so I would like to get your thoughts, because as we said at the beginning of this episode, the Celtics are rolling right now. They're playing very well. Obviously, some losses here, but aside from the Bucks game, obviously the Nuggets game was very close. I have my issues with that game too, which we will get into, because I think that we probably have similar complaints about it, but we'll get into it a little bit. So what do you have for Badger on his comments about the Celtics?
I think Badger's not going to like Porzingis unless he can play 82 games and then 20 or whatever more it takes into the playoffs. I'll enjoy not only telling him so if Porzingis is healthy for the playoffs, but pointing out that these rest games are probably the reason that he's healthy in the playoffs. I don't care about the Bucks. I'll say it on this podcast 1,000 times, and until they beat us, and it's not going to happen, and I'm that vehement about it, I am not scared of the Milwaukee Bucks at all. They cannot play defense. I don't find them good. I think there are bigger threats in the Eastern Conference, let alone in the league, to the Celtics than the Bucks. We got blown up by 30. Of course, TNT cut away. Joe Mazzulla came out in halftime and was like, we're going to play the deepest part of the bench. That's bad national television. This is just, to me, panic, casual homerism. And I'm sorry to call you a casual, my guy, but that is a casual take. To not understand that you need to sit Porzingis in back-to-back, to not understand that he needs rest, to not understand that he actually does have some ailments this season that are not historical ailments but are new, that he should be rested for those, is just to not understand that this is a long, 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 long year. 100 games is a long time, even over the course of 9 months. Well, we need Porzingis healthy. We need him for all of the playoff games. If he's resting in playoff games, it's not because he rested now or whatever. Like, this is the take that I find all too common that really, really pisses me off.
Not to mention, when we got him at the beginning of the season, we were like, you know, we'll be happy if he plays 50%. You know, like, we knew that this was coming, but we were expecting it to be worse. Like, we're in a good position of him being able to rest. You know, like, he's not resting because he's injured like we thought he would be. So to me, like, this is also, we're still winning. We're still in first place.
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty sure we have a winning record without him.
Right. Too. So, This is like the biggest benefit we ever have had, you know. Like, to me, it's like you need him. You're gonna need him to win the whole.
You're gonna need him healthy,
right? So
a banged up Porzingis is useless. A tired Porzingis, who knows?
I agree.
And he's doing things this year that I don't. You know, I haven't watched Kristaps Porzingis very closely in the last few seasons. I didn't watch him in Washington last year. Washington sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun to watch. He's unbelievable on offense and defense. The things that he's able to do as a 7'3" center. This take reminds me of another one that I saw. It was just like the account got absolutely roasted on Twitter, but someone was just like, the Celtics signed Kristaps Porzingis to cover Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
And look at him! And look at him get bodied in the paint. No, no, they didn't.
Yeah,
that's not why he's here at all. That's got nothing to do with his new job here. He's here to just help the Jays. Are we struggling with big men? No, actually, no. We are not a deep team at the big. Luke Kornet and Kata, when he gets put in, I have full belief in. I'm down with signing a big, bringing in a big, but I'd almost rather get more wing depth from here than get another big. I like Cornette. I like Cada. I like what Al looks like this year, and that was a question mark because Al's old.
Yeah.
I just, this team looks so damn good, and I will be a broken record until he gives me confidence. The only part of this team that I have massive question marks about is Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah. But he watches the town a lot, though, so I don't understand what you could possibly question about, like, what's your problem, bro?
Yeah, and you know what? And here's a serious point. Apparently his ATO record, like, apparently the Celtics are, like, pretty good in after timeouts. I still think we look so garbage. Let's go to the end of that Nuggets game. First play is so bad, we actually call a timeout. Then Tatum, once again, and we haven't seen much of this, but we see it when it's important, and this was important, with a one-on-one on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who he's got a listed 4 inches on, but probably more like 6 or 7. He does a turnaround fadeaway Kobe miss jumper at the buzzer. End of time. Celtics lose by 2 to the Nuggets at home. I was disgusted at that
game.
And mostly their play. And I think, you know, Richard Jefferson really said it best. And this Richard Jefferson quote got swept under the bed or swept under the rug because of it came from the same segment where Perkins said that if you put Joe Mazzulla's brain in a bird, he's still going to be a bird or whatever the hell.
No,
he said
if you put his brain in a bird, the bird will start flying backwards.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. Great quote. I'm more on Team Joe than that. I am. I should announce that. I believe in Joe more than that. But the thing is, Richard Jefferson pointed out there that when you're Jaylen Brown and you're Jason Tatum, it's insane that you're not getting to the line at least for like 5 free throws a game.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Especially, excuse me, especially when you're 2 of 18 from 3 combined. Just like, what is,
yeah,
drive the ball, get the call, like, you're superstars, get to the basket, stop trying to play hero ball, shot selection. And obviously that's not stuff that we can fault against Joe Mazzulla, but Joe Mazzulla is the guy in charge of correcting that and stifling that and nipping that in the bud, and I don't think he has the power to tell those guys how to play ball, and that is my concern.
Yeah. Did Tatum get hit twice for hanging on the rim in that game,
like a fine after?
No. Like, did he? I know that he got fouled for hanging on the rim at least once. I'm pretty sure he got it. He got hit for that twice. So,
I hate the call, to be honest. He's it's a safety thing.
I think it's a stupid call too. I agree with you.
He pulled up fine, but I don't love making massive historic moments out of losses, and the Celtics have like posted that photo a bunch and been like hanging in the Louvre and everything like that. I there's something really pathetic about like emblemizing anything in a loss to me. I don't care if it's regular season.
It's such a hard photo though. It looks so sick.
It does. It looks great. I wish we won the game. It would look a lot cooler to me. But you know, the pulling up, fine, you want to call that, I guess. It's lame. It's a lame call. But, like, further than that, like, if he doesn't hang, it's a safety issue. If he jumps right off the rim with a whole team running at his legs, do any of us want that? Who wants that?
Yeah.
The amount of ankle, leg, knee shit that could happen from getting off a hoop with giant bodies coming at you is, like... That's my whole issue with it. It's just like, if you didn't like that he pulled up, fine. But like, he needed to hang on the rim that amount of time for it to be safe for him to get down.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, for sure. I just
think that part gets overlooked.
Yeah.
Like, we're so conscious. Like, one of the biggest calls in the league is the automatic flagrant foul if you get under a three-point shooter, which should be in the league. It was ending careers. It's dirty. It's so, it's like, It's a stupid play. Let them land. How is that not the same thing with a dunk? And yeah. I know he's like up there and it's like still like rah because he dunked it and it was crazy and he posterized someone on a fast break. But like, just the technical and punishing the team when it's just like, if he just dunks that and then lets go and eats shit, I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
I at this point, I'd rather him get the technical every time. But I think you're getting punished for like a little bit of looking out for yourself. And maybe that's massive homerism. But I just like, I've never seen someone hang on the rim and been like, ref.
Yeah.
Like he just had a massive dunk. He just posterized. Let him flex. Who cares? Yeah. What are we worried? It's going to come down. Like, shut up.
It's not. Trust me. It's
for sure not.
I dunked on it yesterday, actually.
Yeah. That was sick.
Yeah.
I got the photos. $20 a pop.
Yeah. We're not going to post them for free, but
hell no.
We'll definitely put them up if you guys want to pay. He can dunk on it. I can dunk on it. It's not a big deal. I don't really want to make a big deal about it.
No.
But it's just facts, you know, and it is sturdy and it would definitely hold him up, you know, so it he shouldn't have gotten in trouble for that.
I don't know. Other than that, I don't know. I'll just tell Badger told you so later. I don't have much else. I'm not worried about the Bucks. And, I guess you could say the Nuggets aren't the team they were last year. I think they're going to end up being pretty much the team they were last year. They might even get Bruce Brown back since he was just involved in a trade with Pascal Siakam. And then they will be identically the team they were last year. All they've really suffered this year is some Jamal Murray injuries, which to me is always on the table. Jamal Murray is not a durable player in the NBA. He's a very talented player, but he's not durable. But once again, it's fun to talk in January. And let's check in a month from now when the whole league, in both leagues, is completely different from the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Ideally, not whatever the hell you just talked about the Bruins, but the other stuff.
True.
The rest of the league.
Do you want to, let me ask you this. Do you have any other Celtics comments you want to make so far, like before I move on to something else and wrap this episode up here?
Yeah, I want to talk about tonight's game.
Okay.
A little bit, because that was all my Badger retort, to be honest.
Yeah.
Tonight we played the Dallas Mavericks, and the Dallas Mavericks have three players of note on their team if you're a Celtics fan. One of them is Kyrie Irving, of course.
Boo.
Another one is Luka Doncic. If you don't like Luka, just know that Luka was compared to Paul Pierce, to Paul Pierce. When Paul used to be on ESPN, shout out to his firing. Shout out to Stars on Mars. I can't believe you didn't finish that show. And he said, I was never that good.
I mean,
so like Luka is like, if you liked watching Paul, watch Luka. Like Luka, it's the same game perfected. It's the perfect, style of Paul Pierce's game to me. And a third guy.
Your guy.
The Batman.
Boo.
Oh man, I hate Grant so much. So I just want to say Celtics pulled out a great win tonight on the road in Dallas against a full pesky Dallas team that I think will be in the playoffs. Grant has been Grant there. He's been given more minutes and he's the same guy. He was a good guy to get rid of. All the Grant stands, I would love for you to write the show and let us know that you'd explain to me why he'd be good. He'd be a good fit back on this team and we'd be better with him. I would really I'd love it. But today, Andrew, we were introduced to my new form of coffee in the morning. Cause you know, coffee's not great for you. I want to start using coffee, not as a start every day, but just like, if I need it, I'll go to coffee. So how am I going to wake up every morning? With a clip that I shared on our Twitter before we recorded this episode.
I just called X.
Stating just that. And Tatum blocks the living shit out of Grant at the buzzer of halftime from half court. And gives him the most, you are pathetic, disgusting look back at him afterwards.
I saw that.
Grant just walks so solemnly back to the locker room. I loved it. No notes. Great win today. I'm glad they followed that up with a win. After the Bruins, who had the more important game of the night for our two teams that we cover there. Just shout out to Grant being Grant in any color but green and white. Other than that, a couple other quick NBA things I want to touch on tonight. Joel Embiid, 70 points. Karl Anthony Towns looked like he was on pace to beat him, had 58 after three quarters, went on to try to be hero in the fourth, only scoring 4 points in the fourth quarter and getting benched with 3 minutes remaining, blowing a lead to the Charlotte Hornets and ultimately losing that game. One of the most Karl Anthony Towns things I've ever heard of. Congrats to them both on their career highs. But I want to point out, and this is for all my superstitious heads or like there's something else out there heads in the world. Who knows what it is? But this is, both of them did this tonight on the anniversary of Kobe dropping 81. Interesting.
Yeah, that's you pretty much hit it there, because that was what I was going to mention before we wrap this up here, was I wanted to get your comments on those two dropping huge points tonight.
Crazy. I wish one of them beat it. I think that'd be really interesting. I do, at this point, I'm sorry, I'm starting to consider Kobe's 81 the actual record. And there's no video of Wilt. I'm sorry. There was video of games back then. There's no video of that game back then. I'm sure it happened. But, like, we're in the day and age where I want to see the great performance. I want to go back and I can go on YouTube and watch the Kobe highlights. I can't do that with Wilt. You can't do any of that with Wilt. No one, literally no one has any footage of it.
Yeah.
It's just him holding up a 100 after the game and some stat sheets, whatever. Also, I think it's a more competitive league nowadays. Whatever. Yada, yada, yada. I think it's crazy that it happened tonight, that all of this happened on January 22nd. I wish one of them beat them. I wanted Cat to beat Embiid because he was being more efficient with his shooting the way he did it. But my whole thing is this. I never thought I needed Jason Tatum to drop 70 points. And now I do. if Joel Embiid is going to be in the 70 club, one of nine players in the 70 club. Jason Tatum, I need you to join the 70 club. I need him in there. I do. I didn't need him with Devin Booker in there. I didn't need him with anybody else in there. I kind of need him in there. It doesn't have to be this year, but I need him in.
I don't. This is a hot take. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't either. I don't think it's a hot take. And to be honest, he's not on a team built for it. Look at Embiid right now.
He's the Embiid's guy.
Got Tyrese Maxey, yeah, and then Tobias Harris if he shows up.
Right.
And then, like, the leftovers from the Clippers. And they're still a good team. What the Sixers are doing right now, they have no one. If the Sixers beat the Celtics, that's when you should be pissed off. The Bucks beat us on a back-to-back on the road. Again, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to care. Until they beat us full strength at each other's necks and they spank us like that, like, I'm not concerned about the Bucks at all. The Sixers are doing this like in an insane manner. If you put Tatum on that Sixers team, I think Tatum should be able to drop 70. On our team, I don't necessarily want to see it. I have this thing, and it's like I want him to be in the 70 club now because Embiid's in there. But we don't have the team for that right now. Not to mention, look at our scores. It's Jalen. It's Porzingis, who's been carrying the team of late, because Jason has actually been on a slump of late. Let me see if he actually turned it around. He's been going into tonight. He was averaging like under 20 in his last five, which coincides with me betting him MVP. So I will say my bad.
Great.
Let me see what he finished with tonight. 38. So he bounced back tonight. He had a great bounce back this evening. 38 is a great thing. At one point, it looked like maybe he was going to throw his hat in the ring with those other performances. I believe he had 16 in one quarter. So, yeah, I just in with this team, I don't think it's I think it's definitely not going to happen. It would be a horrible game to watch where he's just hogging the ball the whole time, I feel like. But, yeah, I don't know. If it's a banged up night and it's Tatum and the scrubs, go for 70, my guy.
So much like I think McDavid is going to go after his contract's up, do you think Embiid, there's any chance that he stays in Philly?
I think there's a chance.
I mean, there's four. He is, after this year, he's got three more years on his deal. I don't think that he can last three more years of being terrible.
I think they could win one of those 3 years, and it's still a chance, but it's slim.
Can you imagine? I mean, I suppose it's 4 years from now, but and he'll probably still be a great player, but can you imagine him going to a contender? like a real contender. Like, I don't know that anyone can really afford that contract that he's going to obviously fetch, but like, he's a stud, you know, and as much as I hate to say it, it's true.
Oh no, he's amazing. I hate Joel Embiid, but I love him. You know what I mean? Like, you have to respect
the skill.
He's a villain in this league, right. And it's awesome. So he's 3 years left. He's 29. So he'll be like 32, 33 signing that contract. So yeah, it'll probably be pretty big. But he's going to love the power that he has in that. And that he gets to choose a different team. There's been so much rumblings of him going to New York. I think it'd be weird if they're still like kind of middling like this in 2 years. And he'll probably come out and say, I'm not here next year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a trade that could happen. What happens is he signed that. I don't know if he has a no trade clause. I would imagine he does. But I don't know. The Embiid thing's going to be very interesting. I do think there's a chance he comes back to Philly. But I would be surprised, not shocked.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see him in a Knicks uniform.
Dude, it'll be weird if he... It will be weird when he goes somewhere else, if he does.
Embiid being the king of New York, I think, is really fun. Oof. I really do. Even if it's at our... Even if, like, it's a direct cause of our...
Hopefully we will have already won our championships by then.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So...
But I do think there's a chance. I will be surprised if he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, cause they got to do something with this team. They got him James. They got rid of James. They need a third guy, dude. They don't have anyone right now. Like, they're not a legitimate contender at all. The city of Philadelphia is hurting.
I love it. Love to see
they're
it.
Keeping their football coach. Hell yeah.
Shout out Jason Kelce though.
Oh my God.
Love that dude.
Is there a cooler guy in the world?
I don't know.
I don't even want to think about it. I just want to believe it's him.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Is Bill going to go somewhere?
I mean, the rumor is Atlanta, but he's had two interviews there so far and he hasn't signed. So who knows?
And then I do like Mayo. I'm in on the Mayo thing. I don't disagree with the Vrabel part, and I'm starting to think Vrabel's not going to get a job. I don't get it.
He'll get a job somewhere. I mean, there's teams that need a coach. If I was him, I'd be like, hey, Chargers, I would love to...
there or Seattle.
I would love to be in warm weather 50% of the time.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I wonder if Philly picked up the phone to Bill.
I don't know.
I can't believe they're getting that coach back. I don't know a single. I don't have a single Philly fan friend that doesn't want to rip their own eyes out.
I mean, I can't believe Dallas is doing the same thing, keeping their coach as well. So
Dallas does that shit.
Yeah, I know, but
and everyone will show up in their blue and silver. Like, Philly will boo the shit out of you. Yeah. Philly will boo Nick Sirianni every game next season.
Good.
Mike McCarthy's going to be fine. Mike McCarthy's not getting that heat.
Well,
I'm not surprised. Dallas fans are. Can't hold a candle to Philly fans in terms of getting absolutely eviscerated.
I've been to Dallas enough times to realize that they don't actually care about the Cowboys like they like people think they do. They care way more about college than anything else. So, like, yes, of course they care. They have a massive stadium that they sell out most games or all games, I don't know, but that's not the appeal in Texas. Like, the appeal is college is bigger than anything.
How about them Cowboys?
But I will say, I'm just glad that we don't cover football full time on this podcast. But
it's not the Patriots, but it is interesting. The coaching thing is interesting this year.
Yeah. And when we figure out the Super Bowl matchup, we'll each give our take on who we want to win. Like, we'll give our picks. And
who do you want right now?
I would like, I mean, I want to see the 49ers or the Lions. I want one of those two teams.
Dude, let's go Lions.
I would love to see them win it.
Oh man. Lions. I'm all in on Detroit for the rest of it. But I don't think they'll do it. Let me be clear. I don't think they will. I think it's gonna be a Ravens Niners Super Bowl.
God, I hope so. I hope it's anybody but the Chiefs. Let's just say that.
But I'm also having trouble. The conspiracy theorist in me is having trouble wrapping his mind around Taylor Swift not being at the Super Bowl to watch her boyfriend.
True.
Sorry, not to bring it up like that, but it feels kind of crazy to me to have the Chiefs lose next week. If you're a guy who likes ratings,
sounds an awful lot like you have the script.
Yeah. One last thing. Sorry, you said the script. Have you seen the meme going around?
Of
the Super Bowl logo and the team that coincided with it over the last three?
Yes.
That has it with my prediction, which is Niners Ravens.
So. Yeah, I was going to say. And then it's like the color, the lesser color on the thing is the team that's going to win or something. So like if it's primarily purple, then that means they're going to lose. The Ravens are going to lose.
Right. And it is, I think, right?
So, yeah, I think it's like more purple than red. I don't know, dude. It's so stupid, but...
Bet your life on the 49ers, guys. It's written.
Seriously.
That's not serious advice. Do not do that.
I'll end it on, go NFC.
Let's go NFC. Welcome back, Badger.